The opinions expressed in this show are the views of the host and not necessarily that of WTRW, 94.3 The Talker, or the Bold Gold Media Group.
The following presentation is brought to you by the host of the program, who is solely responsible for its content.
All Century 21 real estate offices are independently owned and operated.
Hi, I'm Jackie Ruddy, broker, Century 21, Jack Ruddy Real Estate. Welcome to the Real Estate Roundtable on 94.3 FM, The Talker. I'm here with Pat Devaney, my husband and fellow realtor.
Good morning, Jackie. How are you today?
Wonderful. How are you?
Very good.
Today is December 5th. December 5th, 2009, we lost my dad, and he was instrumental in me choosing real estate as a career. And very helpful and informative along the way. And I miss him dearly to this day. And I just want to devote the show to him in memory of him.
Yeah, we miss Jack. Jack was a great guy. He had a great way of talking. And he could be telling you to go jump in a lake and you'd be like, oh, yeah, thank you very much. You know, he just had a great way about him. He was a great guy.
Terrific
and
sense of humor, too,
yes,
right?
Yes.
With us today is Disaster Blaster. We have Matthew Lyons, the general manager, and we have Gary Lyons, the owner. Good morning, gentlemen.
Good morning. Good morning.
We're here every Saturday at 11 a.m. and Sunday at 11:30 a.m. We talk real estate. We have a full-time real estate office with many experienced realtors. We have been listing, selling, and appraising real estate for over 40 years.
During the week, feel free to email us with any questions you have at questions@jruddy.com. That's questions@jruddy.com, or you can give us a call at 570-344-6724. And when you're at jruddy.com, check the Dunmore Corners live webcam, because there's a webcam on the roof of the corners giving you a live picture, and it's actually pretty interesting. We get a couple of hundred hits a week.
And as the weather turns, many people check out before they go outside to see what it's like, if it's frightening, if they should stay in. What's going on out there, right?
How much snow is on the ground?
Don't say that S word. View our listings, search the MLS listings, or listen to archive radio shows by going to jruddy.com, jruddy.com. Check us out on LinkedIn, YouTube, Twitter, and Facebook as well. Okay, Matthew Lyons, general manager of Disaster Blaster, Gary Lyons, the owner. Today, we are going into uncharted territory today. We've never discussed these topics that you're here to talk to us about today. But it's something that we all need to be aware of in real estate as we sell properties, homes, places that have garages, sheds, multifamily dwellings. Methamphetamine, which we also call meth. And that's what we're going to say for the rest of this show, just so you know, because I can't say that word too well. Okay, what is meth?
It's a chemical drug that they make out of pseudoephedrine and a number of other household products, such as drain cleaner and a number of other things you wouldn't want to put in you.
There's many, many recipes for this.
Yes, there's several different recipes for making meth. Some, for example, use the red phosphorus out of road flares. So there's a lot of different things. None of them good for you.
So this is a synthetic drug, and it's a popular drug.
Very popular.
Very popular among who?
Pretty much demographically, it's used by every segment of the population. People with money, people without, the young, the old. It's used by a lot of kids in college when they're cramming, because it'll both keep them awake and make them more alert. It's used by people that want to lose weight. It's used by a lot of people, and it's viewed as not a dangerous drug compared to others.
It sounds, everything that I read is it's horribly dangerous.
Very addictive.
It's very absolutely. It's very addictive and it's very dangerous, which people just don't realize.
Okay, is it a problem locally?
It is. There are meth labs more common actually in the Northeast. Because the further away from the Mexican border, the less methamphetamine is actually being imported, or making it to the area. So we do have a lot of smaller labs in the area as a result.
What is it referred to? There's other names that it can be referred to other than meth.
Speed, Crank. There's about 200 of them. So
okay, well, we won't go through the whole list.
Yeah.
But that's what it's like.
Yes.
Okay. And so it's something people use it in order to increase their level of energy.
Yes, absolutely.
Okay. Stay up for days on end and have energy that they wouldn't otherwise.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah.
So it is a problem locally. And as a realtor, I want to know when I'm going into a property, not so much to identify that maybe this meth lab existed, but to know some maybe danger signs.
A property after a meth lab has been operational, you may not know that a meth lab was in the property. It leaves a residue on structural components and content items. Testing is available, but it's not something that your general home inspector is able to do. The thing to look for more than anything is anything that looks kind of crusty or you know, on windows or whatnot. But it, like I said, it's a film and you may not know that it's there.
We used to tell us in a fire department, if you know you go in, it kind of smells like cat urine. Is that what the place will smell like?
It does have a very off-putting odor similar to that, yes.
Then if he didn't have a cat and you smell that, you say, I wonder what was going on in here.
Yes.
Disaster Blaster is a company that does a lot of cleanup services for water damage, fire damage, removal of radon, asbestos,
yes,
mold,
mm-hmm,
and you have come across meth labs.
We have. We've actually been involved in a couple of projects over the years. We had a woman that had a puffback in her home. And after everything had been cleaned and taken care of, she insisted that an odor remained. We didn't smell it. Her insurance adjuster didn't smell it. So we actually had an independent tester come in to test the air and see what she was referring to. It turned out the property next door had an operating meth lab. So the odor she was complaining about was actually a result of that.
So when you are near a neighboring a property that is a meth lab, you can detect that? By the odor?
You can. She was having a lot of headaches and things like that. So it was an issue to her. She didn't initially link it to that, but it was eventually addressed.
So the puff back that she experienced was something from her furnace?
Correct. It was completely unrelated.
What is a puff back?
That's a combustion issue generally in a furnace that will send smoke throughout the property.
So after that was all cleaned up, and you did what you needed to do, she still was experiencing this odor.
Absolutely. And it wasn't related to the puffback, which is what created a lot of the concern on our end. And after some investigation, we determined that it was actually this meth lab next door.
What are the most serious environmental consequences of meth labs?
Well, the problem with meth labs is that for each pound or so of actual meth product, you have 6 or 7 pounds of chemical waste. So you have to dispose of that in a method which is obviously not going to be legal. So they're dumping it down drains into septics and yards. So you don't just have a film on the structural and the contents in the property that is a hazard, but you also have this waste that's been disposed of somewhere else.
So the remnants remain in the pipes.
Yes.
And you're still going to experience some physical problems as a result of being around it?
Yes. The effects to an occupant in a property that had an operating meth lab are very similar to the effects if you were abusing meth, as an example. You'll be jittery, you'll be anxious, you'll have some paranoia possibly. So it's definitely something with short-term and long-term effects.
What's the cost of cleaning up something like this?
It ranges. We've handled some projects that were in the $4,000 or $5,000 range. It is very involved to address a meth lab issue. It's very detailed cleaning. Obviously, something very large would then cost more. Our labs in this area, from our experience, tend to be smaller.
So, you know, I'm thinking about in terms of real estate and what we do when we list properties for sale. And if we have a lot of paperwork that governs what we do day to day. And so if an owner had a tenant that had a meth lab and the owner of the property is going to sell the property, if they don't know, there's nothing that they have to disclose because they don't know. But if they do, and they don't have a cleanup, and if they just went in with general household cleaning, is that going to eliminate the problem?
That will not. You have to use particular processes. We generally use a hydrogen peroxide based procedure, which allows us to break down the meth film and remove it from the property.
The meth, the production of, the creation of, it's the residue that you know, it leaves on the counters and the walls. It also goes into the fibers of the carpet, the drapes. What is suggested in terms of that? Are you ripping things out and throwing it away?
With soft goods and anything of that nature, yeah, it's going to have to be disposed of. Obviously, if you have sofas that are affected or children's toys, as an example, that's going to have to go. Our goal is to try to save as much as we can, but in a safe manner. So anything that's questionable like that would definitely have to be replaced.
Okay. So there's a lot to this. Now, airing out the property. And do you do air quality tests before and after?
We don't do testing. We view it as a conflict of interest, but a tester can do that before and after. Generally, if you have a meth problem, you have a pretty good idea what the extent of that's going to be going in. So testing after the fact to ensure that the cleanup has been successful is recommended.
Okay. There was a meth lab in the neighborhood. It was, I forget which borough it was in, but it was above a bar or something, and they closed the place down. They taped it off like it was a hazmat incident. I mean, they wouldn't let anybody in there. The building was closed. So this stuff is super toxic. Besides, it destroys people's lives. I've seen some of it. I mean, it rots people's teeth out in their heads, and they're psychotic. And not only does it destroy lives, but it destroys properties, too. This stuff is oh, my God. We never discussed this topic before.
No. But if it's a common problem to Northeast PA, of course, we're going to come across it. Yeah, we did. We came across it in a couple years back in real estate in a property that was on the market. So it's not frequent. It's not daily, but it is something that we have to contend with and certainly
right. And
think
if it's
about
in a property, you have to disclose it. And unless it's been mitigated, unless people like you have come in and cleaned it up and declared it safe.
With us today is Disaster Blaster, Matthew Lyons, General Manager, Gary Lyons, Owner. May I have a little bit of a general background, how long you've been doing this, your cleanup services, and your contact information before we go to break, please?
Disaster Blaster's been in business since, we've been in the indoor environmental field since 1997. We were the first company that actually started doing mold remediation in Northeast Pennsylvania. And we do flood dryouts, water damage dryouts, smoke remediation. We got involved in radon mitigation now. You can put radon systems in and asbestos abatement.
And meth lab cleanup.
Meth lab cleanup.
Okay. All right. And your contact information, please.
It's Disaster Blaster. We're located at 911 Main Street, Navoca. And phone number is 570-963-1123. You can look us up on Facebook. And our website is disasterblaster.com.
Thank you so much. Pat?
Yes, we have a four-bedroom home located at 1340 North Washington Avenue in Scranton for $69,000. This home has hardwood floors, cove ceilings, and a very attractive open staircase with the stained glass window. The bathroom has tile glass walls. It has pull-down stairs for storage in the attic, a front porch, a rear patio, And the lot is 210 feet deep, and it also has a nice detached two-car garage. That's a four-bedroom home located at 1340 North Washington Avenue in Scranton for only $69,000. Also, we have a very nice home at a great price. It's located at 300 Bobcat Lane in Clark Summit, a three-bedroom, two-bath, ranch-style home with a two-car garage, and it has four fireplaces. So I guess there's a fireplace everywhere you need it for only $179,000. The surrounding homes are valued at about $200,000 or more, so this home is priced to sell. The home was built in 1991. It has a master bedroom with a master bath, a perfect yard with beautiful mountain views. It's on a quiet dead-end street. It has a lovely rear deck, and the possibilities for the basement are endless. That's a three-bedroom, two-bath, ranch-style home with a two-car garage and four fireplaces at 300 Bobcat Lane in Clark Summit for $179,000, and that's listed by Dan Taylor of our office.
Stay with the Real Estate Roundtable with Century 21 Jack Ready Real Estate on 94.3 FM The Talker. We'll be back after a very brief break. In today's real estate market, there's no doubt buying and selling a home is complicated. It can be thrilling and exciting too. Hi, I'm Jackie Ruddy from Century 21 Jack Ruddy Real Estate. And when it comes to real estate, you need to be confident you're making the right decisions. I am confident we have what it takes to help you make those right decisions. Century 21 Jack Ruddy Real Estate has been helping buyers and sellers for over 40 years. So we've invested the time to know and understand the market. We're great listeners, skilled negotiators, and we focus on every detail, giving you the highest level of service. Call Century 21 Jack Ready Real Estate today, 344-6724, or visit jready.com. Plus, tune in to the Real Estate Roundtable every Saturday at 11 a.m. and Sunday at 11:30 a.m. on 94.3 FM, The Talker. Don't go it alone. Call 344-6724 for Century 21 Jack Ready Real Estate. Welcome back to the Real Estate Roundtable with Century 21 Jack Ready Real Estate on 94.3 FM The Talker. I'm Jackie Ruddy, broker, in with my husband, fellow realtor, Pat Devaney.
How are you today?
Great. How are you?
Very good. Getting a lot of scary information today.
Scary, yes.
Scary is the word.
We have with us Disaster Blaster, Matthew Lyons, general manager, and Gary Lyons, owner. Good morning.
Good morning. Good morning.
We're having a great discussion, a very informative discussion on a topic I knew nothing about before you gentlemen showed up today, methamphetamines.
We're going to call it meth today, right?
Methamphetamine labs.
Yes, meth.
Meth. We're going to call it meth, yes, right, from here on in. Okay, a little bit of a recap quickly. What is meth? What is it? And what are you, more importantly? You're a cleanup company, an environmental cleanup company. You've been in business for a long time, right? Since 1997.
Yes. Meth is a drug that's made out of a number of household chemicals as well as pseudoephedrine. And we, being an indoor environmental company specializing in hazards and indoor pollution, have also focused on the need for meth lab remediation in the area. So we are working as best we can to try to resolve issues with properties that have had operating meth labs in them.
Gary, you brought up an interesting point on break. You would do what if you were who?
Well, if I was someone that had properties that I was renting, I would be as proactive as I could. You know, you want to, you know your tenants, one, and, you know, taking advantage of doing a walkthrough every once in a while just to see what's going on inside. Because once you have a meth lab inside and this pollution occurs, it can be quite costly to you.
Meth labs are just about anywhere you can imagine, in a house, a single home, a multifamily dwelling, a shed, garage, trunk of a car, a van, an RV, and even a purse.
Yeah, they can be pretty much anywhere. There was actually a woman at a store last year that had security check her out because they thought she was being suspicious because she kept reaching in and out of her purse. And it turned out that she had a meth lab in her purse, and she was trying to prevent that from a buildup of pressure that would that would explode. So, you know, I mean, if you have something that dangerous, you probably shouldn't take it shopping with you, but it can be pretty much anywhere, yes.
From time to time, I see on the news, I remember a couple, they were in the parking lot of a supermarket in their van cooking this stuff up.
Yeah, the mobile meth labs are becoming more common. Of course, when they're at home, it's likely parked in a garage and also still being used, so you probably still also have an issue with the garage.
It's widely prevalent, and it is a problem that we're seeing in the Northeast here in Pennsylvania, you said, and you could find it in rural areas as well as the city area, and there's all different demographics that are being touched by this type of drug usage, correct?
Yes, there are. And the interesting thing about the meth lab, the methamphetamine issue, is that while a lot of it is coming in through the border, it lowers in quality, it diminishes in quality the further away from the border it gets, with the exception of the Northeast, because we're producing so much of it in these small, what they refer to generally as mom and pop meth labs, that the quality is increasing in this area. So we definitely do have an issue here. And it is a drug that's used by pretty much anyone. It's not really limited to a particular demographic. In fact, unlike a lot of drugs, this is not a drug that's used more by men than women. It's a pretty much 50-50 split.
The statistics that I'm reviewing here that I'm looking at is very, they're very scary. Under 18 years old, 24% use meth. 18 to 23 years old, 35% use meth. 23 to 30, 19%. 30 to 40, 13%. Over 46%. So there's a great amount of usage with our young.
And a lot of that has to do with it being viewed as a party drug. It's something that is easier to get, so they view it rather incorrectly as being safer as a result. It is a, I mean, like I said, it is a party drug, so it's used a lot in that sort of a circumstance as well.
So they view it as a recreational drug? Well, I'm going to go smoke a little recreational crack? What's wrong? What's wrong with these people?
They view it as not as as hazardous as it obviously is. I mean, if they want to cram for a test, you know, they'll...
Oh my God.
They may look at meth as an option to both keep them alert and awake and to study more easily.
I think the fact that it's made out of a lot of household components leads them to believe that the final product is not as hazardous as it is, when actually it's probably more hazardous than a lot of other drugs out there that we already term as hazardous.
Oh my God.
How do we know if there's a meth lab in the neighborhood, if it's close by? What are the signs, some red flags, please?
Red flags would be a lot of night traffic, as an example. Maybe people that have a lot of cash at any one time. Obviously, a lot of their income is going to be cash sales, so it's definitely going to be more of a cash sort of a thing. People that have maybe windows that have that are obscured or blocked, you know, anything like that.
Empty plastic bottles.
Empty plastic bottles. They have to use. Well, they don't. They generally use 2-liter soda bottles and things like that in order to produce the chemical and to handle the chemical reactions. So they'll have a lot of 2-liter bottles that they're probably getting rid of. And
is there a list in Pennsylvania of homes that have been, it's been identified that there was a meth lab in use at a property?
There is not. You can, of course, contact the local police department. They can tell you whether or not they're aware of a particular property having a meth lab or a bust, but there is no list, and they may not be aware of a meth lab issue at a property.
Okay. In the first half, we touched on some of the things that you do as a cleanup company when you go in there, if there's been a meth lab, the cleanup, because it's obviously toxic, the residue left behind, things that you do. What are some other things that people need to keep in mind? Is this something that somebody can do themselves, general household cleaners, they just wipe down walls and...
They really can't, and the main reason for that, beyond the particular processes and procedures that you need to take in order to remedy it correctly, is when cleaning a meth lab, our crew takes precautions. Meth is a chemical that you can, is a drug that you can take pretty much in any way. You can ingest it, it can absorb through your skin. So just the process of attempting to clean it yourself, you could expose yourself to the drug.
Long-term effects, respiratory problems?
The long-term effects tend to be similar to schizophrenia and things like that as well. You have paranoia, you have homicidal and suicidal thoughts. Heightened depression, yeah.
Okay. Yeah. And if I was to go into a property that had a meth lab, I could have this sensation that I would have, burning eyes. It can burn the skin if you come into contact with it.
You'd have a lot of symptoms similar to that. You can have headache. You can also have a reaction similar to someone that would have taken meth. So you can have heightened alertness. You can have...
The shakes.
You can be jittery. You can have some paranoia, things like that. So depending on how long your exposure has been.
Okay, so when you're cleaning it up, you're going in with some special cleanup products. Are you also using high power fans?
Generally, the first step is to air out the property. The residue, the meth residue on structures, will release VOCs into the air. So the first step is to try to evacuate that as much as we possibly can before we begin the actual process of getting everything cleaned up.
And then when you're done cleaning, then you're painting. Why do you paint?
Well, painting is recommended as it is a barrier. When you have a residue that is on every square inch of a surface, it allows you to, while you are cleaning it, to the best of your ability and trying to remove as much of it as possible, there will likely remain some residue. So the paint will give you a barrier from that.
So it locks it in and seals it.
Yes.
Okay. Thank you, Disaster Blaster, Matthew Lyons, General Manager, and Gary Lyons, Owner. Can I have your contact information, please?
Absolutely. We can be contacted at 570-963-1123.
And your website?
www.disasterblaster.com.
Next week, I'd like to invite you folks back. You have a fabulous team, and we'd like to hear from Penny Mason regarding hoarding.
We're happy to be here.
Thanks. Pat?
Yes, we have a beautiful three-bedroom Cape Cod-style home at 1801 Quincy Avenue in Dunmore for $124,000. This home is walking distance to the Dunmore schools. This home has tile and hardwood floors, a two-car garage, a small fenced-in yard, covered front and back porches. It also has a beautiful modern kitchen with a breakfast bar. The first floor also has a living room, dining room, and a bedroom, or it could be used as an office. That's a beautiful three-bedroom Cape Cod-style home at 1801 Quincy Avenue in Dunmore for $124,000, and that's listed by Andrew Planey of our office.
Thank you, Pat. How are people paying for their single-family home in Lackawanna, Luzerne, Pike, Wayne, and Wyoming counties? This is from the Greater Scranton Board of Realtors MLS statistics. 30% went to the closing table with cash. They did not go to a bank, and they did not require any kind of financing. 40% paid for their home by going to the bank, getting a Fannie Mae or Freddie Mac loan. That's the conventional type of mortgage, 40%. 21.5% used an FHA loan. That's the FHA mortgage, the Federal Housing Administration. And rural housing, 2% used that type of financing. 4.4% used a Veterans Administration, the VA mortgage. And that's within the last 30 days. And I'd like to wish my wonderful light of my life, gorgeous
me?
Little guy.
Oh, no, that's not me.
Patrick.
Oh, the other Patrick.
The other Patrick.
Oh, yeah, okay. I thought you were talking
about. Happy birthday.
Happy birthday, Patrick.
Double digits, 10. Can
that's
you believe
right.
it?
I can't believe it. He's
time
getting old.
Time flies, I know. Remember to tune in next Saturday at 11 a.m. or Sunday at 11:30 a.m. to listen to more of the Real Estate Roundtable with Century 21, Jack Ready Real Estate on 94.3 FM, The Talker.